Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the new Diet Division here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, as you know, every year or so, or maybe it seems like every month, a new diet fad sweeps the country. And as we know all too well, none of them works.
No.
You always end up standing in front of the freezer at midnight eating a cheesecake right out of the box, right? But here's a diet that might actually work, and it was invented by none other than our dad.
And this is going to work.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, it's a simple matter of stoichiometry.
Right.
Right? What goes in either comes out or stays inside and turns to what?
Fat. Right.
But my father, man, the guy's a genius. One day, my mother is out of the house for the day. She goes to the bar down the street. Man, who knows what she does? I mean, she comes back in the middle of the afternoon, and she says to my father, "Did you have lunch?" He says, "Oh, yeah." She says, "What'd you have?" He said, "I had that frozen chicken pie that we had in the freezer." She says, "Oh, how was it?" He said, "It was delicious." Oof. Huh? So she's roaming around the house, and she walks by the microwave. She peeks in the microwave, and there's the chicken pie. She opens the door, and she says, "Lou, you didn't eat the chicken pie." He says, "I didn't, but it was so delicious."
Well, I realized that he was satisfied by the aroma.
That could have been it.
It smelled great.
We call this the geriatric diet, because all you got to do is remember that you ate it.
And you ate it.
And you ate it. It's good enough. He was completely satisfied and had a memory of it being delicious. So we are going to inject into people's brains forgetful stuff.
I don't think I need a dose.
So that you will have the memory of having had lunch, dinner, anything you want. And this is a diet that stoichiometrically
has
can't
to work.
Lose.
I mean, maybe you just need to look at the pictures of the stuff.
We'll work up to that. I mean, why bother buying the whole chicken? I mean, you
have to buy. Think of the money you save.
I mean, one chicken pie could last you 2 or 3 months until it starts to get moldy.
Well, you'd get sick of it. He might say, "You know, I had that yesterday."
No, because we can fix it so you won't remember that he had it yesterday.
Oh, boy, you're evil.
He's going to hear this. And we're in trouble. But he can take a joke, God bless him.
If you want to talk to us about your car or your diet or anything else, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-888. Get it? I ate.
That's the mantra.
I ate.
That's what you do all day. Maybe you don't even have to do the injections.
I ate.
Just sit down and you say, I ate.
227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
To whom are we speaking?
Tennessee.
Is that your name or where you live?
That's my name.
Tennessee. And where do you live, Tennessee?
Buffalo, New York.
Well, that's funny. I guess it's better to be a name Buffalo.
Yeah, that would be.
That's my little daughter, Buffalo. How about Warthog? Wild Boar.
So how did you wind up with a name like Tennessee?
It's a family name. It's my great-grandmother's name.
Are there other people in your family named after states, or is this just you?
Just me.
Just Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Auntie Arkansas. And
So
what's up?
What's happening? Yeah.
Well, I have a 1989 Volkswagen Jetta, automatic transmission.
Yeah.
And I'm calling because it has an intermittent problem, and it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
It misses, but it's not consistent, and
yeah.
I've had it into a shop a couple of times to look at, and they can't figure out what the problem is.
What are the circumstances under which it misses?
Sometimes it misses at high speeds when I have a constant pressure on the gas pedal, like 60 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Good, I like that.
And all of a sudden it'll start going, that's good. There's two things I got right away.
Okay. And sometimes the gas tank is full and sometimes it's empty.
Right. How about when the engine's warm and when the engine's cold?
Sometimes when it's cold, sometimes when it's warm.
How about on hills?
No, I don't drive on hills. I don't have any hills around me, so I don't know.
There are no hills in Tennessee?
She's in not in Tennessee.
In
she's in Buffalo, you dope.
I knew that.
Oh, you're testing her.
Just testing if she knew
see
her name
was
in
Buffalo. See if
she was
a phony or not.
Okay.
And it does it also at slow speeds when I'm coming to a stop, especially, and when I'm at a stoplight. It's hard to keep it going. I usually have to put, it's an automatic transmission, so I put it into neutral or park and rev it up a little so it doesn't stall.
Has it ever happened when the engine was ice cold?
Yes.
Damn!
Very cold, in fact.
Really?
Yeah, it was like 30 degrees here, and I turned it on. I let it warm up like 30 seconds, and it was sputtering.
Oh, that could be something different.
Yeah. And how many times all told has this happened?
Probably, it's been going on for 6 weeks, and in the last 3 weeks, it's been happening every day.
Ah.
How sure are you that it happens with the tank full?
Very sure, because I usually have my tank above half.
Tennessee,
I'll ask you again. How sure are you? And is there any way I can talk you out of this stupid
well, maybe
answer?
Maybe not absolutely full. Like 40 miles into a new tank is when it starts.
That's pretty full. I think that pretty much eliminates your ideas.
Yeah. Well, not entirely.
See, she didn't eliminate my ideas with the cold business because, I mean, it could have just stalled out and sputtered because it was so cold.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is it's getting worse and worse.
Well, you know, there are some ground connections on the that run to the cylinder head on this car.
Okay.
And I hope they've cleaned those because if they're not making proper connection, they can make the car behave just like this.
Okay.
So they should check those.
Okay.
There are some simple things,
and
too.
Usually corrosion because they're right near, I believe they're right near the water outlet.
Okay.
And sometimes corrosion builds up there, and it can cause this symptom. So that's easy to check in 5 minutes to fix, and that may fix it. And the other thing that comes to mind, and it's not easy to diagnose, is an intermittent fuel pump relay. And we replace a lot of these on Volkswagens.
Okay.
Because when the relay goes bad, it can do exactly the same thing. A momentary interruption in the flow of electricity from the relay to the pump makes the pump shut down, and boom.
Okay.
The engine will either miss until the pump comes back, or it'll actually stall out and then restart again.
Okay.
And you should have them, if they can't figure anything else out, have them throw a relay in there.
Okay.
And you know what else I like?
What?
The coil.
Do you? I've been fond of the coil myself. I guess it's just an inherent shape.
Are you a coilophobe?
I asked them to check the coil because my father told me that my father said that coils go intermittently, and I asked them, two separate mechanics, and they said, no, they don't go intermittently. If they go, they go.
No, that's not true. They can fail and come
back. Your father is right.
But generally, within 6 weeks' time, it would have degraded.
Well, it has. It's gotten worse today. Now it's happening every day, Tennessee.
But it's unlikely to happen when the engine's stone cold.
Well, it didn't really happen when the engine was stone cold. That was a red herring. Tell them to check the coil. They're wrong about it going immediately like that. It doesn't go without any warning. It can give you warning.
Yeah, you know what you need to do? What you really need is you need to start dating a guy that owns a parts store.
Yeah,
I think that might be the solution to your problem. You can try a coil one night, then you can try a relay, and pretty soon you'll have the car fixed, and then you can break up with them.
Right.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, our pleasure.
I'll try it, and I hope it fixes.
Me too.
Okay.
See you, Tennessee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve. I'm calling from Amherst, Massachusetts.
Hey, Steve. What's going on?
All right. I got a 93 Eagle Summit wagon, and it's developed a twitch.
Yeah.
Eagle Summit. For those of you who don't know, the Eagle Summit is the closest relative to the closest known relative to the Mitsubishi Expo, of which I am a proud owner.
All right, good. So can you tell me what part is twitching?
What's twitching? What's going on?
Okay, so here's the thing. The car has outside rear view mirrors, and when you're driving maybe 40 miles an hour or more, usually, you know, sort of highway driving, not so much in town, and you turn a little bit, just turn the steering wheel a few degrees either direction, the passenger side mirror starts to twitch about once every second, twitch, 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 making kind of a clicking sound. Everybody in the car is distracted, and, of course, you can't really see out of the mirror.
If you were looking in the mirror as it twitched, what would you see?
You know, you see that the view behind the car gradually changes, so it goes, it moves a little bit.
And it's changing always in the same direction.
Yeah.
Going further and further away from the car or closer and closer to the car?
I think it goes so that you see more of the car and less of, you know, the
so you could see your mother-in-law putting her lipstick on in the back seat.
Sooner or later.
Yeah, that's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you have
The accident.
I bought the car 3 years ago, and it seemed like it was in good shape, and I haven't had an accident since then.
You have not?
No. Well, you're going to have an accident. And mirror going like this.
And when did this twitching start?
It's been a while, like probably over the last year, and I really noticed it. My wife and I went up to Maine last summer, and that's when we really noticed it a lot.
And exactly when does it happen? You're driving along on our road.
Yeah. Yeah, so then you just turn, you know, maybe they say you turn left a little bit. The road just, you know, turns, and you turn left, and then all of a sudden it starts. Now, if you turn the wheel back, especially, you know, pretty hard right, it will stop. So now you're ending up, you know, heading over towards the ditch.
Oh, you must be fun to drive him back.
Well, and I was thinking that, you know, state police might really notice this. So I'm totally going to get it fixed, and I know I should take it in. But I thought, I really am curious, like, how can that be, that turning the steering wheel does that?
Well, how many people drive the car?
Just two, my wife and I.
How tall is your wife?
Short, 5'2".
How tall are you?
6'1".
You ever think of getting married again? To a taller woman?
Right. How is it dancing?
So are you suggesting it has something to do with there being someone in the passenger seat?
No. I'm suggesting a way to fix it so it doesn't happen again. But it requires cutting a wire.
Okay.
And I just wanted to make sure the mirror was in the right spot when you cut it.
Oh, like, I see.
Well, you could simply unplug the mirror by taking the door panel apart. That would be the chicken's way out.
Uh-oh. But yeah, but that wouldn't be any good, because then one of you would, unless you could compromise on the right position of the mirror, you could then keep it in one spot.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be elegant.
Well,
elegant would be we tell you exactly what's wrong with it.
Well, I'm going to attempt to do that and just shut up for a minute. It could easily, I mean, I don't.
I have to warn you, Steve.
Yeah.
He's got to be digging deep for this answer.
Well,
I just want you to know.
We're not going to be able to prove him wrong anyway. So,
well, here's what I would use a systematic approach.
Oh, good.
The problem is either in the switch.
Yeah.
Or the relay, if it has a relay for this business.
Okay.
Or it's in the wiring between the switch and the door.
That seems pretty safe.
Okay. Now, that pretty much covers it.
Can I ask one other question?
Sure.
Does it ever happen if you're sitting in your driveway?
No.
Of course not. He has to be in motion.
Yeah.
Got to be in motion.
He's gonna be turning. So centrifugal force.
Good. That's
is
good.
At
that's
work
a,
here.
That's the point.
And
I would
start by merely taking, pulling the switch out. That switch pops right out.
Yeah.
And then I would drive the car.
Ooh.
If you unplug that switch and the problem is gone, then I would assume that it's the switch.
Yes.
If that doesn't solve
the problem, wouldn't that be simple?
Then you know it isn't the switch, and now you have the unenviable task of ripping the car apart, which we'll be happy to help you with because you're only right up the street in Amherst.
Okay,
we can be there in a couple of hours.
Oh, that sounds great.
You don't want to address the issue of how centrifugal force is causing this electronic, no moving parts switch.
Yes.
Well,
right.
Look, if I wanted to address it,
you
and I thought it was safe,
already.
I would have done it already. Of course I didn't want to address it. Jeez. You ever hear the expression, let sleeping dogs lie?
Well, that's
I was about to say, bye, Steve. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Good luck.
No. I can't let you get away with that because I knew you were going to be digging deep.
That's why I think there's a relay involved, and I think the relay is the culprit.
And where would that relay be?
Are you kidding me?
Don't you own the same car, though?
I
different
do.
Model.
Oh,
different model.
Yeah, what year's yours? Mine's in 92.
Mine's 93.
I don't know where that relay is, but I'm sure you can find out easily.
Well, yours
enough.
Doesn't have power mirrors.
It does, too.
It does?
Yes, indeed.
That heap has power mirrors?
No, they all do. I don't think you can get it without power mirrors. It was a luxury car in its day.
Well, I mean, you're interested in fixing this yourself, huh?
Well, I mean, I just am mostly curious. I mean, I know I can take it to the mechanic and
have
him replace the whole thing.
Well,
but
I mean,
just
if the switch thing doesn't work, the next thing to do is open the door.
Here's the other possibility
that
has come to me recently.
Good.
In the last 10 seconds.
That when you're turning, it isn't necessarily centrifugal force, but somehow or another, something, maybe even the transmission or the linkage, is impinging upon a wire and grounding it and making the thing, completing the circuit like the switch would do. That's why I suggest taking the switch out, because I'm going to suggest that when you do that, it's not going to fix it, and that you have a chafed wire someplace.
All righty.
It's a wire.
Uh-huh.
I'm convinced of it.
I like it.
It's probably a switch. Good luck, Steve.
Thanks for your help, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It could be right there, you know, right in the door.
Well, the thing that came to mind is it could be where the wires go through the A-pillar.
Exactly.
Into the door. It could be that the body is flexing enough right there to cause, because those wires break after a number of years. And it could be that all the problem is right. Steve, are you there? That the problem is right at the door itself.
I think so, too. That would be nice.
It would be. It would be lucky for Steve.
It would be certainly easy to look.
Yeah, no. In fact, those wires run through a rubber, looks like a little concertina.
Yeah.
And
if you pull that out.
Thing open, you'll probably see a couple of wires are broken in there, and they're touching and grounding out.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be.
Takes a little piece of black tape, wraps it up, and the thing is fixed.
Would be. Let's
fetch.
Yes. It doesn't sound like it. Okay, Tommy, think back. Do you remember anything at all about last week's puzzle?
Yes, I do, because as a matter of fact.
I don't.
It was avian in nature, if
Ooh.
I remember correctly.
Ooh.
And it had to do with flight patterns. What? You look shocked. What?
I am. I'm shocked that you actually remembered a puzzler. My world has been turned upside down. Everything is twisted now.
Don't worry. I just peeked at your notes before the show.
Oh, man. I feel better. Anyway, you scared me for a minute. Yes, the puzzler was about a bird feeder.
It was?
And the flight patterns of the birds. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
And even though Julius Caesar clutches his chest and whispers, "Et tu, NPR," whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from Exxon and Mobil stations featuring the SpeedPass Plus app. Download the SpeedPass Plus app, the fast, easy, secure way to pay for gas and earn rewards with the tap of a button. Now through July 10th, get 10 cents off every gallon when you pay with the SpeedPass Plus app at participating stations. Stop by your nearest Exxon or Mobil station today. Energy lives here.
Hey there, I'm Joshua Johnson, the host of 1A. We're spending a week bringing you stories of cutting-edge ideas and new technologies that could change our lives for years to come. To hear our reports from the Aspen Ideas Festival, check out 1A, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk
Hello?
With us.
What was that? Is this the BBC?
Yes, we have a lot of British folks who are listening of late, and I thought I'd...
Hello. I like it.
Anyway, we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm.
And this puzzler was sent in by someone named Bill Denlinger, and he writes, my cousin Bruno put up a bird feeder in the yard. It was nothing fancy, just basically a flat board with raised edges, kind of like a shallow cigar box with the lid, of course, removed. Would have been mean for the birds to have a lid
cover
on. Anyway, as Bruno sat in his recliner in the living room watching the birds come and go, he noticed an interesting thing. On some days, the birds would fly into the feeder from the north. On other days, they would fly in from the south. And on other days, they seemed to fly in from all different directions. The birds weren't tagged in any way, and he didn't know anything about birds. He had no way of knowing, but they appeared to Bruno to be the same birds, right? I mean, well, birds, a bird is a bird,
yeah.
Right? But he wondered why the birds didn't fly into the feeder from the same direction all the time. I mean, they must have a house someplace.
Well, was it different days of the week? Maybe one day they're coming home from work. If it's the weekend, they don't go to work. They fly off in different directions on vacation.
Oh, maybe they're at the gym another day.
At the gym another day?
Hadn't thought of that.
Bruno didn't think of it either.
He didn't seem to think of it. Anyway, he couldn't explain it, just like us, until one day he noticed something while he was out filling up the feeder. And he said, aha. What did he notice?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Did it have to do with wind?
He noticed that the wind was blowing, exactly. And just like when you come into a landing at an airport, you fly into the wind to land. the birds do the same thing, too. When they try to fly with the wind at their backs, they miss the bird feeder altogether.
They come down, they trip over the end of the thing, fall down on the ground.
So, over millions of years, birds have learned to land flying into the wind.
No kidding.
Yeah, and if the wind is blowing from the north, they're flying in from the south. And, of course, on the days when it isn't windy...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So it was the same birds. And Bruno figured it out one day when he was out there and it blew off his toupee. Anyway, who's our winner?
Well, the winner is Larry Barton from Kettering, Ohio. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Larry will get, of course, the $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division.
I hope Larry doesn't have a heart attack or anything. You know, it'd be like waking Ned Devine. They're going to have to pretend that he's still alive to get this $26 out of us. I mean, this...
Lucky Larry.
This could be very stressful winning this
thing. Imagine if you're just sitting there in your living room watching the birds go to the bird feeder, and someone says, the winner this week is Larry Barton, and it's you. You could fall right off your chair.
And you didn't even send in an answer.
We just picked these names at random.
Oh, God. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. So what does Larry get for it with his $26 gift certificate?
Well, I started to say, with that $26 gift certificate, he can pick up a copy of our 4-CD set called Four Perfectly Good Hours. This set features four of our favorite shows exactly as they aired on NPR.
Oh, yes.
Or all kinds of other stuff, T-shirts,
hats,
coffee makers,
Bronco Nagurski, long underway, and of course,
pianos.
Now bird feeders.
Down payment on a piano. That was 750 more payments, and we'll give you the keyboard.
Anyway, we have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Melissa. I'm calling you from Juneau, Alaska.
Melissa.
Melissa from Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
And what, pray tell, might the temperature be in Juneau
today?
Oh,
it's lovely.
It's about 56 degrees, and it's cloudy. And when it's cloudy like this, the blues and the glacier come out really gorgeous.
Oh, isn't that nice?
In the glacier.
The glacier. The blues in the glacier.
Yes.
I mean, is there snow everywhere right now?
No, the snow's gone.
No, there's still snow up at the top of the mountains.
Oh, but not on the streets.
No, oh, good heavens.
Well, you do have streets.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and boats. And cars.
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
And you have a question about your car.
Well, my car has a story.
Oh, I thought this was just a weather report.
Well,
what's the question, Melissa?
I have a 79 Olds Toronado diesel. And my husband and I decided that we would go ahead and do this trade. And I would trade him my Oldsmobile for the aluminum skiff and a Marlin 30-30 rifle so I can go deer hunting this fall because he's going to move down south with his girlfriend.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Marlin 30.
Who? What? Can you run this by us again?
You're going to make a trade. Did you say husband?
Yes.
Husband.
And girlfriend in the same paragraph?
Yes.
So you're taking the diesel, and you're giving him the
skiff. No, she's giving him the diesel.
I have the diesel.
Oh, and you're getting the skiff?
I'm getting the skiff and the rifle. So
the rifle?
Deer
and,
hunting.
Oh, he's getting the girlfriend. He's getting the Toronado and the girlfriend.
He already has the girlfriend, but he's getting the old.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's doing this, like, with your blessing, so to speak, or exactly?
Well, there's more. We did the trade, okay?
Yeah.
We did the trade.
You did
he
the
spent
trade.
Spent 2 hours rowing the skiff, the girlfriend, and the gun to my boat harbor. And when he got here, we did the exchange for the title, and girlfriend got in the car.
I mean, did he go for, like, an 18-year-old bimbo or what?
Oh, no. She's the same age as us.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, it's none of our business, actually.
Well,
but you did bring it up.
You made it out. You could have left that component out of the story.
You could have. Right.
You chose not to.
Yeah. So don't blame us if we probe on the interesting aspects of your question.
Oh, sure.
And
no
your
problem.
Relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
I put her in the car. She sits in the car, and she jinxes the thing.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right, because the night before, I drove around taking my things out of the car, you know, all the boxes of clothes that were in the trunk and papers and everything. So I had spent a good hour and a half the night before driving this car.
Yeah.
And I brought it home, and I parked it. So in the morning when they arrive, you know, put girlfriend in car, shut door, go back to the back, sign title, give title to husband. Husband gets in the car, starts it up, and it sounds like there's a rock in the flywheel.
Uh-oh.
Mm.
Uh-oh. She's a jinx.
It's making this noise.
Also, did this nullify the trade?
Well, it has in the meantime.
Oh, sure. I mean.
He drove it, it's about 4 miles from my place to his. He drove it over there, had me follow him to make sure they get there.
In the skiff?
No.
In the pickup?
I have a Buick. I followed him in my Buick, and he drove the Olds. And by the time he got that 4 miles, there was no forward or reverse in the car. He took it out of forward to put it into reverse to park it, and he couldn't get any gears out of it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's because the flex plate broke. That's the plate that connects the flywheel, connects the crankshaft of the engine to the torque converter of the transmission. Clanging that you heard, was that thing had cracked?
Well, wait. By the time he got down there to his place, it wasn't making that noise anymore.
No, because the piece that was making the noise broke off completely, and the engine was, if he shut it off, he would be unable to restart it. Was that true?
No, that's not true. He has been able to.
Okay, well, I suppose.
And actually, what he told me is that he can drive it for short distances until such time as he thinks that it warms back up again, and then he loses it.
No, it may be the torque converter that's gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of other things, too.
Yeah, fill us
one,
in.
One is that a bolt had fallen out.
Ah,
there
just,
was, there
just
was
one?
More, well, apparently one had fallen completely out. One was backed out. And there were some that were loose. So he tightened all of those.
So he crawled under there and looked at the transmission.
Well, he changed the filter and the fluid in it.
Oh, he did do that. Okay.
And then after he got done with all that, he said, here, take the beep thing back and give me back my gun and my skiff.
And take the girlfriend, too. I don't want her anymore. She's a jinx.
Well, he doesn't think she's a jinx. I do.
Oh. I'm just curious to know where these bolts came from, but you don't know the answer to that.
Supposedly the bolts that hold the tranny on the back of the engine.
But the noise occurred, the initial noise occurred when he just started the car.
When he started it
before he even put it in gear and tried to move.
Right.
Now, I mean, I'm going to have to stick with the problem is definitely either in the torque converter or in the flex plate.
Okay.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to have your mechanic take the tranny out.
Well, see, he's already told me it's going to be $450 to do something like that.
Yeah, well, it might be. Yeah, and the question is, do you spend that kind of money
on this car?
Well, how much would it cost to buy a skiff and a 30-30 rifle?
About the $400 it would take to fix the tranny.
Tell him to keep the car.
No, but then you'll be without a car.
Right.
She was going to be without a car anyway. She just traded the damn car for the skiff.
Right.
And the gun.
There you go. That's right.
Don't forget about it.
Yes.
If he wants to fix it, tell him he's got a skiff now, he's got a 30-30 rifle, and he's got a Toronado diesel if he wants it.
Okay.
But the deal is off, obviously. The deal is off.
Right. But so it's not worth it to fix the car.
No. Yeah, and when the girlfriend dumps him, he'll come crawling back.
The girlfriend's going to dump him down south. He doesn't know it yet, but the rest of us do.
Everyone else knows it. We know it.
He'll be in your country, and he'll probably come crawling to you guys instead.
He probably will. He'll probably have a Toronado diesel he wants us to fix.
He probably will.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Melissa. Happy hunting, as they say.
Oh, thank you.
And don't shoot yourself in the foot.
I'm too good to do that.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Andy. I'm from Fruta, Colorado. I've got to tell you, I really enjoy your program.
Hi, Andy.
Fruta?
I even record your program when I can't hear it, when I can't listen to it live, and I play it in the car when we take long trips. My family is delighted.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
So where are you from again? Fruta?
Fruta, Colorado.
F-R-U-T-T-A?
No, F-R-U-I-T-A, as in fruit.
Fruta.
Right.
Okay.
Western Colorado is famous for its wonderful fruit.
I was about to guess that. Anyway, what's the nature of your call?
Well, I'm a wash and wax fanatic. I wash and wax my cars every weekend, and my question is why. No, actually, my question is my friends tell me that I'm wasting my time, that my cars come from the dealer with a protective coating that makes waxing
unnecessary. Yes, they call that paint.
Your car has paint on it?
You know, I have to tell you, I was discussing with a friend the other day, just the very philosophy of waxing.
Yeah.
And I discovered that he and I have exactly the same philosophy. When I get a new
car,
whether it's new or used, I wax it once. I wax it. I give it the wax job of its life. And
the mother of all wax jobs?
And I never do it again after that.
You know why? because there's something missing. I mean, in the old days, it was a great experience to wax one's car.
And I'll tell you why. I'm sorry if I've interrupted.
You've interrupted Andy, but he doesn't mind.
You were about to go on and say something else.
Well, my friends tell me that the process that is put on the wax the protective coating that's put on at the dealers that usually costs $125 to $150 to the retail cost of the car
Is obviates the necessity
and that
of waxing.
I never need to wax my car. I want to know is it worth the money that the dealers charge and should I continue waxing my cars?
The stuff that they put on is paint sealer. And it doesn't last the life of the car, because if it did, they'd use that and they wouldn't use paint. Right?
Well, it seals the paint. Still use the paint. It's supposed to protect the paint.
But waxing, you're not wasting. You're wasting your time waxing it every week. But I certainly would wax it, like, I don't know, once every 7 or 8 years. I think that's certainly.
No, waxing, there's no question that waxing the car protects it. Probably the first year or so, and I wish I were expert in this, and I am not. But I'm making this up as I go along, Andy, because it makes perfect sense to me.
He does with almost everything.
I mean, I would guess that the sealer lasts a year or so, after which time it probably is important to wax the car.
How long is the sealer guaranteed?
It's not.
No idea.
No idea. Well, that's how long it lasts then. No, I have no idea.
Or 6 months less than that.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's important to wax the car, not for the sake of the car, but for your own healthfulness.
Exactly. You realize the therapeutic value?
It's incredible.
The relaxation one gets. Don't you feel relaxed when you wax your car?
Oh, I feel as though I get to know my car.
You are one with your car.
That's right. You get to know the car. You get to see all the little places where the little dings are and where the rust is beginning to form. And it takes time to do it. It's sort of like painting a white wall. It's really difficult to get anxious while you're painting a wall.
Because it's soothing.
It is extremely soothing. And waxing a car is even more soothing because this car is part of you. That's if you love your car. Maybe it's called car bonding. Is that what Bondo is?
Well, you know what? I have a different male philosophy. Bonding? I think the fumes from the wax are getting to Andy, and you've developed an addiction to the aroma of the wax.
You know, I think you should wax the car and forget about your friends who don't want to wax their cars. They're just lazy bums and don't pay any attention
to them. I'll tell you why I stopped waxing my car.
Yeah, what was your theory?
And it is a very valid theory.
Let me just guess. The person you were talking to was Pepe.
No, it wasn't.
I know it wasn't Vito, because Vito
doesn't wax.
Doesn't know what wax is.
Doesn't wash
for his
legs. Either.
Yeah.
I was talking to Joe Quadaro, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And he said, I get a new car, I wax it once. And the reason you don't wax cars new or old anymore is in the old days when you waxed the car, you noticed a difference.
Yeah.
Because the car looked lousy.
That is true.
And as you waxed it, you would take off the oxidation and you would actually see a shine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that.
And nowadays you wax the car, you can't tell what I do. I can't tell where I stopped and started. I must be done.
I guess I'm done, right?
And I go in the house.
No, that is true. You don't notice the difference anymore. And for two reasons. I mean, with brand new cars, you don't notice the difference because they shine so much to begin with. You can't make them any shinier. My car, on the other hand, which
is a lost car.
Which is 29 years old. I don't notice any difference because there's practically no paint left.
If you enjoy waxing it, wax it as much as you want.
I think waxing is a wonderful therapeutic experience, and I'm going to go wax my car as soon as we get out of here. Are we done?
Yeah, well, my second problem is I have tennis elbow from waxing my car.
You do. Oh, you know what you need?
You need the click and clack copper bracelet.
No, you need a buffer. You need one of those electric
things. Something
between you and the car. That goes.
Yeah.
A random oscillating buffer.
Ooh.
That's what you need. You don't want one of those things that goes around in a circle. You need a buffer that has random oscillation so it doesn't leave swirl marks.
Random meaning it only does it once in a while?
That's right. Yeah. It goes all over. Waxes the hood a little bit, then the trunk, then the roof, the windows, the wheels. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, look, before we get to the new puzzler, we're going to take a short break.
That's good, because I spilled orange soda 2 calls ago. And if I don't get up now, this chair is going to be permanently caramelized to my butt.
We'll be right back.
This road that I'm traveling, it's long and it's wide. And I ain't catching no breaks. It's ride, ride, ride. 'cause it's way after midnight and I swear it's getting late. But every time I push my truck, it seems to hesitate, and it's a long, long way before I'm home, and a long, long time since I've been gone. And that Blacktop River just rolls along.
And even though Yo-Yo Ma starts beating his radio with his cello whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk and the following message come from Pep Boys. Imagine what 1 million auto parts looks like. Hundreds of batteries, spark plugs, brake pads, fuel injectors, and lots of tires, all stacked up high to the ceiling. This is not just some DIY mechanic's dream. It's here today at Pep Boys. The Pep Boys pros have extensive training and can find the right part to fit just about any car on the road. Need advice and tips on installation? The Pep Boys pros are here to help.
Whether it's athlete protests, the Muslim travel ban, gun violence, school reform, or just the music that's giving you life right now, race is the subtext to so much of the American story. And on Code Switch, we make that subtext text. You can listen to us on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler, and I might add the last puzzler of the season.
Of the automotive season.
Yes, the automotive season. This was sent in by a fellow named Dave Moran, and I think it's a fitting last puzzler of the season puzzle.
Mm. Go ahead.
He says, I just made this up. It turns out there's a fancy French restaurant cafe called Café Pretension.
Pretension,
oui, oui, of course.
Of course.
And they had started a new promotion, and it was the following. On their anniversary, a married couple purchasing an entree at full price, actually 150% of full price, would get the second entree free. The promotion turned out to be a huge success. The restaurant, of course, required diners to bring some proof of the date of their anniversary to receive the discount. Yeah. So if you're there dining and you say, oh, today's our anniversary, you get one entree for free.
Yeah.
One Wednesday night, a waiter came to Francois, the owner, and said, boss, that couple over there is claiming that today is their anniversary, but they don't have any proof. Francois went over and introduced himself and engaged, you know, a little tete-a-tete, you know, with them and tete-a-tetes. And Francois asked the woman, tell me a little bit about your wedding day. And she says, oh, you know, it was a beautiful Sunday morning. The birds were chirping as I opened my window to prepare to get ready for my wedding.
Yeah,
I saw the flowers in bloom. It was spectacular. She goes on to explain to Francois that today is their 28th wedding anniversary.
Right.
He says, oh, how charming. But unfortunately, you do not qualify.
Wow. Did he also say, did you used to have?
He says, I don't believe that today is your 28th wedding anniversary. He says, you're a bald-faced liar. And he slaps her across the face, at the same time spilling her husband's vichyssoise onto his lap.
I got it, man. I can visualize the whole scene.
How did Francois know
that
today was not their wedding anniversary? Now, if you think you know the answer.
Very good.
Write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hey, who's this?
This is Ed calling from Wilmington.
Wilmington, Delaware?
Wilmington, Mass.
Mass?
Yeah, just up the street.
Right up the street.
Yeah, in fact, I worked in your fair city for 36 years at the university. So
Which one?
Right, a local guy.
Yeah.
You mean the one in the square?
Yeah, down the square. I worked right near there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I used to go work there. I just retired. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this car. It's an 85 Chrysler New Yorker with a turbo 2.2 engine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We inherited it from my wife's aunt. It's in beautiful shape.
Is it blue?
Yeah.
They're all
blue. That kind of dark blue that looks like gray.
Is the trunk all faded?
No, it's in beautiful shape. It's all
you want to sell the trunk? Because, we need a trunklet. Dad has exactly the same car.
Yeah.
Our dad has the same car.
Uh-huh.
The paint on his trunk is all faded, so if we can talk you out of this car, we'll buy it from you for $100. So go ahead, anyway.
Anyway, there's a butt that goes with all this.
Yeah, butt. It runs great. It's in beautiful shape, but.
But when you park it on a hill, put it in park, it's near impossible to get out. Now, I came up with a plan, you see.
Good.
The plan was on a hill, if you're parallel parked, just let the car roll in front of to the car in front of you and leave it neutral.
And hope he doesn't leave before you.
Right. You're all set, except that there's a couple of flaws in the plan.
One of them.
If the guy doesn't like, sees you doing it, he won't like it.
No.
And if he should leave before you, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
The question is, why is this happening? It's very difficult. I'm afraid we're going to break the shift linkage trying to get it out of park.
Well, you might.
Well,
yeah,
some cars are difficult, especially front-wheel drive cars.
Yeah.
Seem to be difficult to get out of park if they're facing up or downhill.
It seems to me like it's a design
flaw. It is a design thing, and here's the way to fix it without fixing it.
Yeah.
Before you put the thing in park, you set the handbrake.
Oh, I've done that.
In other words, you leave your foot brake on, you step on the handbrake,
which
is a foot pedal on this thing, and then...
When
you've let the car roll as far as it wants to roll in under those conditions, you then put it in park.
I've done that.
And that doesn't work?
It works fine. The only thing is I have this inherent distrust of parking brakes. I'm sorry.
If you do this, you don't have to really trust the parking brake.
Because you
have the parking brake, which is holding the car, but you also have the transmission holding the car.
Yes, yes.
Except that the transmission is acting as a backup now for the parking brake.
Right. So if the parking brake should fail, the transmission will keep you from rolling.
Right.
But you won't be in the trouble that you're in because it will be easy to get out of park.
I know that. Yes, I've tried
and
that.
And then when you go to leave the spot, you start the engine, you put it in drive or reverse or whatever, and then you release the emergency brake.
Well, what I was looking for is a fix for the problem.
You don't want to know the fix.
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, new transmission, what?
Sure. But, short of spending real money on this thing and maybe not even fixing it to your satisfaction, I would use the technique you've been using.
So that's the only suggestion?
I think so.
I guess that's about the size. But I wanted to see if you'd heard anything like, if there'd been a problem with these right along that could be fixed.
Well, I don't think so, but I'm sure we'll get calls from about 500 transmission shops.
Yeah. If we do, we'll call you back and let you know what they say.
All right.
See you, Ed.
Thanks for calling, Ed.
Terrific talking with you.
Bye-bye.
Same here.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Before you confuse another poor unsuspecting caller, would you mind if I dip into the old mailbag?
What do you mean, unsuspecting caller? They call us! They know what they're getting into.
This is good. This is really good. Dear Click and Clack, this is from Dan O'Brien of Rapid City, South Dakota. While visiting the campus of the University of South Dakota, an unsettling event occurred that I think you should be aware of. This visit took place last fall, just after the national media had revealed research confirming that listening to Mozart can temporarily raise a person's IQ.
Oh, temporarily?
Yeah,
and
in fact, there's a copy of the article. It shows that students who listen to Mozart for 10 minutes got higher grades in exams than students who hadn't. It was a controlled test. It was proven. It's proven, man.
All right.
Well, there I was on campus wearing my Car Talk t-shirt when this extremely upset co-ed came racing up to me. She pointed at my shirt and screamed, "Them! They're the ones!" That's us.
Oh.
Of course, this got my attention. She seemed so distraught that I asked her if I could buy her a cup of coffee. She accepted my invitation and over the next half hour related to me a woeful tale that I think you should know about.
I guess so.
It seems that she had an accounting exam the previous week. She claims that she was absolutely certain that she could get a B on the exam and maybe even an A. Actually, she got a C.
Mm.
She attributed her poor performance to the fact that she had heard the report about listening to Mozart having the power to raise a person's IQ. And on her drive to class, she figured, what the heck, it's worth a try. She turned on NPR, where she knew they played a lot of Mozart. Trouble is, she got Car Talk instead. She claims that listening to you guys lowered her IQ and caused her to get a C. I thought you'd want to know this, and the legal ramifications could be frightening.
Yes, they could
Maybe be. Maybe you guys should have a disclaimer at the beginning of your show to keep out of trouble. How about this? Caution. Listening to Car Talk may damage brain cells. Do not take exams within 24 hours of listening to this program.
Or operate heavy machinery.
We have the power to drop IQs. Isn't that interesting?
Mine's been dropping precipitously ever since I started doing
the interesting thing is, I guess mechanics all listen to this show. Because is that how they got? No.
No. No. Anyway.
When you get down to single digits, then you can become a mechanic.
There's no place to go but up. If you want to call us about your car, call us at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Diane from Portland, Oregon.
I just have to warn you, Diane. You sound like a nice person. And we know for a fact that we have already dished out at least 3 correct answers today.
And that's above our limit.
That's way over our national average. So the chances of your getting a correct answer have diminished considerably, even though all the problematicians would not believe that. So what's the question?
Shoot, Diane.
I need some help from you two understanding the inner rings of the male psyche when it comes to cars.
Oh, this one we'll give you the right answer on, because if there's anything we understand, it's the male psyche.
That's why I called.
No, male psycho.
That may apply here.
That may apply. Okay, go ahead.
You got to understand, I have been married for coming up on 24 years, and I've known my husband, Greg, for close to 29. And he threw out this comment to me as we were driving one night that totally baffled me. I need to give you a little bit of background. We had this defining moment this spring in our car history when our 17-year-old son totaled one of our cars. Unfortunately, he totaled the wrong car in my eyes. Mm. What we had was an Acura Vigor, pristine shape, and I was driving my second Caravan.
Oh, gee. So, and he racked up the Vigor. What a fathead.
No, he's a good kid.
I understand, but he's 17 years old by definition. He's a fathead. But we'll get to that later.
So we had this complete change out of our cars. We bought a new Acura, and the guys at the Acura place were great. We said to them, you know, we're trying to find an old tank for our son. And so they kind of kept their eyes open. And they called us and they said, we found this Beamer, this 94 Beamer. Why don't you come see it? We swapped out my Caravan for the Beamer. And that's what my husband's driving. So we're driving one night in the Beamer. And my husband says, I love this car. And I said, I thought you hated Beamers. He said, I don't hate Beamers. I love the Beamer smell.
Oh.
I said, what?
What smell, you said?
He said Beamers have a distinct smell.
Absolutely. They smell like the locker room. This reminds him of his junior high school locker room.
Now you got to understand, I'm a cookbook author. I know smells. I can smell brownies baking a mile away.
You can't smell a Beamer, though. Beamers have a distinctive smell, which, by the way, I can't stand.
We can't even tell you what it's coming from.
We can.
I mean, and despite the fact that you claim some kind of superior olfactory skill.
You may be able to detect a burning brownie, but you're missing the Beamer smell.
But, I mean, and the truth, I mean, this is an interesting juxtaposition here of skills, because there is no question that women have a better sense of smell than men. Undeniable.
Right. That's
proven.
That's how they get us to shower.
It's been proven in the laboratory. And now, so we get this dichotomy of smell versus male psyche. And we know nothing about smells because we're guys. And your husband really knows nothing about smells. But in this case, he's right, because we all know that it exists.
Well,
and I'm shocked that you don't get it. I think the brownies have ruined your olfactory nerves.
Right, you're burned out, baby.
You're burned out.
you can't get burned out on chocolate.
Yeah,
you can't
made.
Do.
Yeah, I think so.
You've been smelling too many onions.
You made one too many creme brulees. But every BMW I get into, I can't stand the smell of.
No, huh?
No, especially the newer ones. There's something about either the plastic or the leather they use. Doug Berman is who owns a BMW. He's shaking his head. Yeah. His smells of dog puke.
And that's pretty distinctive, too.
So you think we need to, like, I need to sit in, like, 10 Beamers. And
yeah. Well, here's how you get, if you want to get the full effect of the smell, you need to take the hottest summer day.
Yeah.
And you need to park this in direct sunlight with everything
windows
closed up.
Windows closed.
And then you have to open. Then I would wait until it cooled off a little bit so you could stay in the car long enough to smell it.
I would do this naked.
And then
so you can get the full effect of those hot leather seats.
Yeah. Well, you have to at least be wearing shorts. And then you have to get in the car, and then you can't drive. You just have to sit there and just breathe deeply.
Yeah.
And breathe, obviously, just through your nose. Yeah. And relax. It might do you good to chant a little bit. And you will smell, you'll say, oh, yes.
Yeah.
I smell the smell. And it smells like, to me, a locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a smell that I think most males probably like, but I don't like it.
Jeez. Mm. All right. I feel like I have to now go crawling back to my hubby and
well,
say you're
of
right.
Of course.
Well, you do.
He called us yesterday.
Sent us $20.
Say it, Diane.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the New Delhi Clam Belly Octopus Jelly Gambarelli, Tagliatelle, and Roast Beef a la Kelly All Night Deli is John Bugsy Lawler. Where does she come up with this stuff? Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our anger, very sneaky, our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is O Tekashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our videographer from the Tel Aviv office is Shlomo Replay. This is very sneaky. our Swedish pessimist is Gunnar D. Days. Our employee morale boosters are Phil LaCrap and his brother Luke LaCrap. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to particle physicists in flip-flops in Harvard Square, as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1826. Subscribe to our weekly podcast and check out our mildly offensive clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, a great way to get rid of your used car.
Just call me and I'll be there in no time to pick it up.
What, you getting tired of shopping at the junkyard?
Well, they want too much money. $50 for a car? Come on, that's ridiculous.
Actually, we're talking about the Car Talk vehicle donation program. You donate your old car and your favorite public radio station benefits.
You can check out details this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's insurance agent doubles our slander premiums whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.